Happy Labor Day weekend to you all. Welcome to September. Football season is here. This is the last Sunday you have before you got to worry about setting your fantasy football lineups. And I know what that takes. It's a lot. But we're excited that you're here with us this morning as we continue on in this kind of mini-series where we're preaching on faith. And Eric Stinnett, who's away with his family this week, did such an amazing job sharing the word of God last week. For those of you who are here, man, he absolutely crushed it. And if you weren't here for some reason, you can always check out any of the messages that you missed by going to bridgecitypgh.com. You can click on the messages and you can go to the North Braddock location messages. We have three locations, White Oak and Brighton Heights. And so you can check out any of those messages. But if you ever miss a message here or you want to re-listen to one, you can always go to bridgecitypgh.com. I think it's /message, or you can just click on the drop-down arrow there. But like I said, we're going to be talking about faith today. And the title of my message this morning is this: Believing for a Breakthrough. And I am well aware that at any given moment in our lives, at least half the people that we know, if not more, need a breakthrough from God. Maybe you're here today and you need a breakthrough, or maybe you're unaware of what's around the corner and you don't yet know that you're going to need a breakthrough, a divine intervention from God on your behalf. And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to have the kind of faith to believe for a breakthrough. And so this morning we're going to be talking about one of the famous heroes of the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah. Now, we see Elijah's life. He shows up on the scene basically out of nowhere in 1 Kings chapter 17. And we see right there at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah shows up and he goes to the king of the nation of Israel at that time, a man named Ahab, a man that the scriptures proclaim there was no other king more wicked up until this time than Ahab the king. And the great thing about Ahab is this: he actually had a wife who was even way more wicked than him named Jezebel. Now, some of you, if you've been around churchy circles at all, you've probably heard people talk about Jezebel. Ooh, she's a Jezebel. She got her face painted up like a Jezebel. You know, all kind of stuff. And so we see Elijah, he's showing up. He's in a period of human history where the people of God have been led astray by this wicked king and his wicked wife, where all the governmental forces are against him and against worshiping God. But nevertheless, this man of faith carves out a path that leads the nation back to God and constantly points people back to God. And so this is a man of great faith. His faith is so great that James, the Lord's brother, right? So Jesus did have technically half brothers, right? Because his dad wasn't Joseph, right? But Jesus had brothers. And several of his brothers who rejected him the whole time he was living on the earth, and then he died and rose again, then they believed that he was who he said he was. And one of these brothers is a man named James. And we actually have a book of the Bible written by him. And James himself was a man of faith. Many people spoke of James by referring to him by his nickname, Old Camel Knees. Now, some of you, get your mind out of the gutter, you nasty people. But they called him Camel Knees because he would spend so much time on his knees in prayer that he had big, knobby, calloused knees from all the praying that he did. And so James is a man of faith. And so we see in James chapter 5, he's talking about Elijah as he's talking about people learning to pray in faith and to believe God for breakthrough. And in James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, who fervently prayed that it would not rain, and for 3 years no rain came, and then prayed again and rain came again." See, and the reason why I'm jumping in here before we get to the life and times of Elijah that this passage of scripture in James is referring to is because we need to get something locked into our brains when we're talking about developing or living or walking in breakthrough faith. See, a lot of times we think breakthrough faith are for the special people, the spiritual people, the good people. But this passage of scripture reminds us that what we're about to read and seeing how Elijah operated in faith, he's letting us know that Elijah was no different than us. Sure, he lived a life devoted to God. And I would encourage you this. Don't believe for breakthrough faith if you won't believe God enough to live the life that he wants you to live. See, because a lot of times we see prayer as, here's what I want you to do for my life. But what prayer really is here's my life, what do you want to do? It's a big shift there. But Elijah was no more special than you and I. The exploits that we see Elijah do throughout the scriptures, one of which we're going to look at here in a moment, they are right there for the taking for those who believe. Elijah was a man with a nature just like us. See, and this is why the scriptures tell us we have to have a childlike faith, right? Because kids will believe anything. You have to learn to be disappointed by faith. See, and Jesus wants us, especially in this season that we're in as a church, as individuals, as a nation right now, we need to have the kind of faith that we're going to believe God for bigger and greater things. And so we're going to turn over in our Bibles here to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Now, as you're turning over there, this is literally right on the heels of Elijah's big showdown moment with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So if you're not a Sunday school attendee like I wasn't for many years until God radically saved me in a jail cell, you know, Elijah's big moment was there was this time all the people, they're following, they're moving away from God, and Jezebel had all these prophets that worshiped this false god, Baal, right? Really a demon. And so Elijah calls for a showdown, and he says, we're gonna see who the real God is. So they go up on the top of this mountain where everybody can see, a mountain called Mount Carmel, and they have this showdown. And these prophets of Baal, Elijah says, here's the stipulations. You are going to prepare a sacrifice and call on your God. And I'm going to prepare a sacrifice and call on my God. And the God who answers by fire is the one true God. And so Elijah, since he knows he had home field advantage, he lets them get to bat first. So can you picture 450 of these prophets, these devotees of a false demon god, crying out, worshiping, jumping and shouting, and while they're doing this for hours, Elijah, my dude, he starts to mock them. He starts, yell a little louder. Maybe he's sleeping. What's the matter, guys? Isn't maybe your God went on a trip? And then my favorite one, maybe he's using the restroom. Maybe he's on a boo-boo break. Now, it doesn't say that in the text. It uses a Hebrew idiom where it says maybe he's covering his feet, but it's a tongue-in-cheek way of saying maybe your God is not there for you because he's too busy dropping a deuce. Well, they're not going to be outdone, so they start shouting all the more, and they even start cutting themselves, hurting themselves, trying to get their God to move. See, and this is where a lot of times some of us, if we're not careful, will approach God that way. We think we've got to like do things to ourselves to get God to notice us, to get God to move on our behalf. But there is a prescription for how to live with breakthrough faith that we're going to see from Elijah here in a moment, because the end of that story is this: Elijah got tired of watching them make fools of themselves. He took his sacrifice. The Bible says he rebuilt the altar of God. Sometimes the thing you need to see breakthrough in your life is you got to rebuild an altar to God in your life. Because the reason why you're feeling like God has disappointed you isn't because God has left you out to dry. It's because the false gods you've been worshiping with your time, treasure, and talent, the false things that you've been putting your faith, your hope, and your trust in, the false lifestyle that you're living, thinking that God can somehow bless a lifestyle that's cursed, that's let you down. God's been waiting for you to rebuild an altar to him and say, okay, now we can do business. So that's what Elijah does. And before he calls on God, he gets 12 pitchers of water. Now, it ain't rained in 3 years. So I don't even know where they got the water, but that was some valuable water. And he has them dump the water on his sacrifice. Then he calls on God, and God instantly answers by fire. And then he says, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. If you're on the Lord's side, kill these other fools. That's what I love. I can't wait for Band of Brothers. Sometimes we can't talk about killing the Lord's. I like killing the Lord's enemies. They're demons. They're not people. But in this, these were people. And so this is on the tail end of this big showdown, right? This is right after God's given a great victory. And so in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, should be on the screen there. It says this, and Elijah said to Ahab, so this wicked king, he's sitting there watching it. He says, go up and eat and drink. Now, in those days when you would sacrifice to any god, there were certain sacrifices that you would eat after. So you would take an animal, put it on a fire, like it's a barbecue. And then you would eat it, and that would symbolize communion and participation with God. And so when Elijah tells Ahab to go up and eat, he's basically telling him, go up and ingest the failed results of your false god. Go up and eat the raw meat that your God that you worship never showed up to catch on fire. Go be reminded of how weak and feeble any other God but the Lord is. That's what he's telling him here. He's just rubbing his face in it, and I love it. See, because sometimes breakthrough faith, you got to be a little bit like a spiritual vigilante, if you know what I'm saying. You got to have a little bit of gumption, a little bit of, you know, you can't be coming at this with sugar in your tank, okay? See, a lot of people have this false idea that Christians are soft. Not the Christians I run with. But he's rubbing it in his face here. But then he says this. Watch what he says this. He says, go up and eat and drink. Why? For there is a sound of the abundance of rain. Now remember, the breakthrough that Elijah is believing God for in this moment isn't actually killing prophets, and it's not even actually turning the nation back to God. Those were secondary consequences of him believing for the breakthrough. The breakthrough that he's believing for here is rain. Because I don't know. See, none of us have lived in an agrarian society. You just go to the supermarket and buy your overpriced beef and your hormoned up chicken and all this other stuff, and you just keep it moving, right? But back then, if there was no rain, there was no crops and no grass for the animals to eat. So you had nothing to, they had nothing to eat. That means you had nothing to eat. And so this breakthrough here is rain. And so he says, go up, for there is the sound of the rushing of rain. And so my first point for this is when we live in breakthrough faith, you have to understand he heard it before he saw it. See, when you want to live a life of breakthrough faith, you have to hear it before you see it. That's why it's called faith. See, so many of us have gotten locked into this idea that we won't move or believe or trust in God until he shows us what we're going to move to or what we're going to believe for. See, we have this faulty paradigm in our natural mindsets that says, I'll believe it when I... But in the kingdom of God, and when you're operating with God, it's flipped like so many other things. It's flipped on its head. It's not, I'll believe it when I see it. Watch this. It's, I'll see it when I believe it. And so Elijah heard the sound of rain before he ever saw the rain, because Elijah was able to sense in his spirit Spirit the move of God before he saw it. And many people under the sound of my voice right now are struggling to live in breakthrough faith, but not just because you can't hear it before you see it, but the reason you can't hear it, the reason you can't sense it in your spirit is because you are not attuned to the sound of heaven. I mentioned fantasy football a little bit earlier on. I love fantasy football. I'm very attuned to the sound of fantasy football. That's why I'm good at it. But you know what I'm more attuned at than the sound of fantasy football? The sound of the kingdom of God. See, it's not wrong to be attuned to other things. Some of you might like music. Some of you like movies. I love movies. And I can quote movies. I can throw movies out. I've seen all the movies. And I'm attuned to those. But I'm more attuned to heaven. And see, the problem of it is most of us reserve the amount of heaven hearing that we do to the 45 minutes that you sit in this room every other Sunday that you come. Church participation ain't for me. It's for you. Joining a connection group is not for me, it's for you. Reading your Bible, not for me, for you. Praying on your own, not for me, for you. Coming to Sunday morning prayer, being in prayer groups, not for me, the pastor, not for God, for you, the one who needs the breakthrough. Because you will never hear what God is doing until you tune your ear to hear the sound of heaven. We live in a day and age where there are Christians that go to church and then they have the audacity to bristle at the preaching of the word of God because they didn't like what it said. I don't like that. Or I don't like the way you said it. Okay, keep living in your breakthrough-less life. I need miracles in my life, family. I need to see people's lives changed, and I seem to need to see souls saved, all for the glory of God. Keep living in your... I don't even know what it is. He was able to sense in his spirit the move of God before he saw the move of God. So how was he able to sense it then? How was he able to hear it before he saw it? Here's the reason why. Because his faith had been built by constant obedience to the word of God. James, let's go back to James. James chapter 1, he says this. Don't be merely hearers of the word, but doers. And then he gives an illustration of what people that just hear the word are like, but don't do anything with what they heard, don't obey God. They are like people who look at themselves in a mirror, and the moment they walk away, they forget what they look like. Jesus says it like this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. These are the last, this is his altar call, if you will, of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He says, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, i.e. do them, i.e. obey them. Those who hear them and obey them are like the wise builder who built his house upon the rock. He hit bedrock and built a house with a strong foundation. Why? Because when, not if, when the wind and the waves and the storm come. See, some of you guys cannot deal with storms in your life because you're not built on the rock, because you're not a wise builder who doesn't just hear and do, you just hear and go on with your life. And I'm trying to help you out today. Because it's not just storm resistance power that you get from obeying the word of God and developing this relationship. You actually now are able to hear things in heaven where you can start actually prophesying and decreeing and praying forth things that you don't even know naturally, but you know because you're in tune to the voice of heaven. Go back to 1 Kings 17. When we see Elijah show up, you know what's crazy? He shows up to Ahab, just some random dude. Rolling up to the king of a nation. Can you picture this? Who gives that kind of person that kind of access? Who opened that door where no-name Elijah the Tishbite now has an audience with the king of a nation? God did. And we don't see him praying, even though James says he fervently prayed. See, that's the thing. The breakthroughs people see in my life, you never saw the prayers. You never saw the fasting. You never saw the tears. You never saw the weeping. That they were there. But we just see Elijah show up on the scene And he doesn't say, oh God, please stop up the heavens. He just goes and declares and decrees there ain't gonna be no heaven, or there ain't gonna be no rain coming out of heaven. See, that's a great level of faith. And a lot of us, we don't have the level of attuitiveness to heaven to be able to operate that way, and our lives suffer as a result. See, he was able to see before hearing because his faith had not just been built by constant hearing of the word, but constant obedience to the word of God. Elijah had built a constant trust system because he obeyed God and didn't delay. You know, I'm a word nerd, not just the Bible, capital W word of God, but words. I like words. I like language because words mean something, even if they try to change the meaning of them in our dictionaries. But the word confidence, right? If I was to say, give me some synonyms of confidence, maybe like swagger, you know. But the word confidence literally means with faith, with trust. It's confide. See, and you need to have confidence in your life, not in other things that will fail you, but in the word of God, which never fails. See, Elijah was able to operate with confidence because he trusted and obeyed the word of God. And maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor, it's hard. It is hard. It's hard for me. But nothing worth doing is easy. And there's no lunch that's free. It will cost you something. I remember hearing it like this, like they were talking about all these apps and stuff, and in this article it said, if the app is free, that's because you're the product. How you think all them spammers got your phone number? Sending you, hey, I just want to take a quick minute and let you know that you can get $150,000 free approved at 30% interest if you just open your bank account to me right now. Right? Or how many of you get the emails? Pastor Rick, people will be getting emails from Pastor Rick. Hey, it's Pastor Rick. Just wanted to let you know. I can't talk right now, but I really need you to send me like $500 in Amazon gift cards. Don't call me, though. I'm in a meeting. Right? They're scammers, right? Because we put our confidence in all this other stuff, and it hurts us. But we won't put our confidence and faith and trust in God. How about this? Are you ready for this? None of you sat in this room and probably gave a single thought to the fact that this roof is suspended by air above your head and could fall down on your head in any minute. None of you did. Not a single one of you. You know why? Because you've been walking in rooms with ceilings your whole life, and none of them have fallen on your head. Now, some of you, something fell on your head, or you fell on it, but... Right? You don't know the materials. You don't know the physics and engineering that is causing those materials to be able to support the vast tonnage of weight of the roof above your head. None of you showed up in here and said, maybe this is the... No. See, that's confidence. You have faith that the roof won't fail. You don't know the builder. You never saw the plans. But see, when it comes to God, we know the builder, we can know the plans, but we won't have any faith in him because we're believing that he's going to drop the roof on our head at any time. See, but you got to be able to hear because then you can trust better. John chapter 10, verses 26 through 27, this is Jesus speaking. He says, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. See, that should be bracing for you, especially if you're someone that took communion today. See, if you're struggling to hear from God, it's either because you're not one of his sheep, and that means you are on your way to hell and you need to repent and give your life to Jesus and stop playing games, or you have not yet learned to hear from God. You have not submitted yourself to people in a process that will help you to learn to hear from heaven. See, that's why next Sunday, we're going to be kicking off our connection groups. It's not just so we can get together and talk about our week, and it's so that we can learn to hear God together. Because the leader of your group is going to be somebody that's been trained and somebody that's been confirmed as a mature believer that knows how to hear God. And they're going to help you to do that, regardless of what kind of group you're in. And so he says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. And then he says this in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So the question is, are you hearing his voice? And if you are you following him? See, because when you do that, you now are sharpening your ears to what's going on in heaven. So even when everything else says nothing is happening, you know, because you heard from God, God is up to something. So my question for you this morning is this, what are you hearing? There's a reason why I can still sing along with every song from Snoop Dogg's debut album, Doggy Style, from 1992. Some of you are like, he said Doggy Style in church. Some of you are like, he said it again. I'll say worse if you let me. But see, it's what's going into your ears. And here's a problem I see with a lot of believers, not even unbelievers, believers. You're listening to too much news and not enough New Testament. I'm just going to put it out there. Even if the news is true, if it causes fear or anxiety in your life, it's not of God. Because God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So what are you hearing? Because here's the thing. Your ear gates can either kill or fill your faith. Are you a negative person? Are you a Debbie Downer? Are you a doubting Thomas? Do you hang around people that are, well, I don't know if it's ever going to work out. Some of y'all need to be more Tigger and less Eeyore. Tigger's like, woo, let's go. He don't even know what he's bouncing around for. He's just trying to get after something. He's like, let's go, Pooh. Eeyore's like, it'll never work. See, I wish they would make a real Winnie the Pooh because my Tigger would slap Eeyore. But what are you hearing? See, the reason why Elijah was able to hear it before he saw it is because when you go back to the beginning of 1 Kings 18, this is what it says. After many days, the word of the Lord. This is before the showdown. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of the drought, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. He didn't say, well, how are you going to send it? When are you going to send it? Is it going to be a drizzle? Is it going to be a sideways rain? Will there be hail involved? What do I have to do? He heard what God said, and he did what God said. Simple faith. Simple faith. And even when, look, he didn't even need to see it. He had been obedient, and he said, God's about to do something. I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You have to be able to hear it before you see it. Number two is this. He adjusted his posture to facilitate breakthrough. 1 Kings 18:42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Watch this. He bowed himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees. Now I want you to picture this. He either did something like this, and these, man, I don't want to mess up these panties. He got down and either did like this. I mean, he wasn't just like, oh, Lord. But I mean, he's in a full head between his knees, or he's sitting and he's like that. He is not just in a posture that tells us he's fervently praying, but the posture that he assumes is a posture of birthing and delivery. And see, some of you never see the breakthrough in your life because you don't want to push. You don't want to pray until something happens. P-U-S-H, push. You just want to be like, oh, in Jesus' name. Well, I guess it didn't rain. No, you have to adjust your posture. Fast. Worship. Pastor, you be doing the most when you worship. Because I need God to move. I need to hear heaven. I need heaven to hear me. Adjust your posture. This is how some of y'all's postures are in the spirit. I'll believe it when I see it. And that's why you don't ever see anything. Adjust your posture. See, some of y'all want to see a financial breakthrough and don't give a plug nickel or a red cent to God. Not because God needs your money, but you need to trust him. Because if it's still in your hand, you'll trust it and not him. We'll go to the store and swipe our card, never thinking. Even when there ain't no money in there, we'll still swipe it. I don't know what happened. But you don't never swipe your heavenly credit card with God. You will trust in something that fails you, but you will never trust in the one who never fails. See, you got to adjust your posture. Serve. Pray. Worship. If the position you're in right now ain't working for you, change your position. Get in a group. Come to the worship night this Friday. Well, Pastor, Friday night, I like to get turned up. Me and the girls, we go out, you know, we just drinking, we drinking virgin daiquiris. See, look, God is less concerned with if you drink, when you drink, and where you drink. He's more concerned with, are you drinking him first and foremost? Change your posture. If Christianity became a crime, and it might, I'm not being Eeyore, I'm being realistic. My children in their adulthood, or my grandchildren, i.e. their children, could live in a country where Christianity is criminal. And if you don't believe me, just drive 3.5 hours north to a country where it basically is. Or go across the pond and have a jolly spot of tea in Europe or in England where they're arresting street preachers and letting Muslim rape gangs run rampant. We don't want to do Islamophobia. That Christian was praying quietly outside of an abortion clinic. Throw him in jail. But here's the thing I want to get to. If Christianity was illegal, is there enough evidence that you're a Christian that you could be convicted? Or could you do what so many did when Nazi Germany started rounding up Jews and Christians who took a stand for the Jews and just fall back like Homer Simpson into a bush because you're faking the funk? It is unfair and unrealistic to believe for breakthrough faith if you don't truly live a breakthrough life for a breakthrough God. Adjust your posture. Many people never see breakthrough or never see their breakthrough because they're waiting for it to happen to them. God right now is inviting you to participate, to believe again, to trust in him. To hope against hope. Romans 4 talks about Abraham. It says he hoped against hope that God would honor his word, that he would give him a son, even though he and his wife were well past the age of pregnancy. See, and I love this because we hear that. Abram was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old. They had probably been married at that point in time for 70 years. 80 years, this is how long they've been, because they got married young. 80 years, 70 years they've been married. They had been trying the whole time, and it never worked. And Abraham could have did what most of us do. God didn't show up. I listened to him, but Abraham hoped against hope. And then God said, look, the thing that I promised you, it's about to happen. But here's the crazy thing about it. God blessed them with that baby, but you know what Abraham and Sarah had to do? They had to, one more time, do the thing that had failed for decades and believe that God was a man of his word. You got to adjust your posture and partner with God if you want to see breakthrough in your life. Last but not least, I'm going to have Caden come up. Elijah heard it before he saw it. He adjusted his posture, and then he didn't let the absence of what he saw detract from the presence of what he heard. This is where the rubber of faith meets the road of reality. Look at 1 Kings 18, 43 and 44. So Elijah, he gets in the birthing position, he starts praying, and he said to his servant, verse 43, go up now and look towards the sea. So I don't know if you can picture this, but Mount Carmel is about 9 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. So you got a clear shot. He says, go up and look towards the sea. And Elijah's servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. See, this is where most of us would quit. We just give up. And he said again, go again. 7 times he did this. And at the 7th time, the servant said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand, the size of a man's hand, is rising from the sea. And Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. So Elijah heard it before he saw it. He adjusted his posture to birth it into the earth. And even when it didn't look like it was working, he kept on praying until he saw it come to pass. And this is the thing that I love so much about this passage of scripture, is that even when he saw it, it did not look like a gigantic monsoon, tornado, hurricane, rain cloud. It was just a little tiny baby cloud, the size of a man's fist. How many times have you prayed, not seen it, and given up? Or how many times have you prayed, God shows it to you, but it doesn't look like what you prayed for yet, so you quit believing for it? See, here's what I love about this. A cloud the size of a man's hand, that's a small cloud if it was right over their head. But see, it was 9 miles away, maybe even further, in the Mediterranean Sea. Big things look small when they're far away. You just got to give time to bring it, God to bring it close to you, and then you'll see it for what it is. See, you can't let the absence of what you see detract from the certainty of what you hear. This is biblical faith. And let me tell you something, guys. As a church, this is where we're going to need to be. We still don't know where we're going to move, but I know it won't be in this building after December 31st. Well, we're praying for you, Pastor. No, pray for your church. I mean, pray for me, please, because I need it. I'm a discombobulated fool if I let myself start judging based upon what I see. But I have heard the sound of the abundance of rain. I can see the cloud the size of a man. I just got to give it time. God is bringing it to you. You just got to give him time. He's bringing it to you. You just got to give him time. But don't delay. Don't wait. Because look, he saw the little tiny baby cloud. He knew it was about to happen. He didn't sit there and like, I'm just standing around. He said, go tell Ahab to get ready. And then the Bible says that he started running. We'll get to that in a moment, but here's the thing. You got to understand about faith and what you're praying for and you're believing for right now. Some of you have stopped praying for things, and I'm hoping that this message encourages you and inspires you to not just pray for things that God can do, pray for the things that you think he can. Get back to praying for that family member. Get back to praying for that job. Get back to praying for that idea that's going to change everything. Get back to believing in what God spoke to you, maybe even years ago. Get back to hearing when not depending on your seeing, because faith isn't about seeing. It's about believing. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that God is a man who does not, who is, God is not a man that lies or a son of man that changes his mind? Are you convinced that God will do what he promised to do? Are you convinced that God is good? Your circumstances might say other ways. Why are you believing your circumstances and not God? See, some of us have gotten to a place in our lives where we believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. And we need to flip the script and get back to believing our beliefs and doubting our doubts. Why not you? Why not now? Why not God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So how did Elijah see this breakthrough? He heard it before he saw it. He lived a life that was in tune with heaven. Is your life in tune with heaven? If it's not, you're starting off well by being here right now. Because nothing I shared isn't straight from the Word of God. Are you adjusting your posture to facilitate the breakthrough? If you're believing for a financial breakthrough, does your generous giving to God reflect that you're somebody that believes, A, you can trust God with your money, and B, that God can trust you with His? And are you rejecting the notion that what you see is different than what he spoke to you and trusting that what he said? See, Elijah didn't go and look for himself. He sent someone else to confirm and affirm what God was saying and doing. And that's why you're going to get in a group. If you haven't signed up yet, scan the QR code on the back of that little card on the seat around you or under you and get in a group. Get around people that when you're struggling to see how it's going to work out, they're going to come around you and say, I can see a cloud coming. You're going to get into that. You're going to get around people. And before you know it, you might not even be talking, and you're just going to start hearing things. I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I can hear that prodigal coming home. I can hear that healing. I can hear that breakthrough. I can hear the sound of many waters rushing in heaven. But get in the group. Get in a group. Last but not least, and then I'm out your way. I said, Elijah didn't have to get ready because he was ready. And so when he saw the little tiny baby cloud, he didn't stand there waiting for it to show up. He started acting as though it was already there, because the blessing will overtake you. My God, the blessing is going to overtake you. And so Elijah, it says that he told Ahab, get in your chariot and get back to town. But then he tucked in his robe so he could run. And he started running so fast that he actually outran Ahab in a chariot pulled by horses. There's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, if you fainted while running with men, how can you run with horses and chariots and live? But see, Elijah, he started, because here's the thing. When you live by faith, it will accelerate your advancement. Elijah was able to supernaturally cover ground because he was living in a faith level, in a faith realm that enabled him to do the impossible. What does God want to do through your life right now? What breakthrough? What supernatural act? Listen to me. You're not here because you're the cream of the crop. Let's be honest. I ain't either. God ain't looking for the cream of the crop. He's looking for you and for me. And he wants to do some supernatural things in our lives and through our lives, but can we believe him for the breakthrough? That's what he wants to do. Some of you, he's doing it right now, but you can't even recognize it. Isaiah says this, behold, I do a new thing. It springs up even now. Do you not perceive it? Some of you need to get your eyes off of the physical and get your ears into the heavenly so that you can hear it before you see it. Because God wants to do great things in the earth. And he's waiting for us to partner with him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's all I got. That's the best I can do. Because y'all do me a favor and welcome for the first time to this stage, the Fisher family, Mr. and Mrs. Evan Fisher, to help y'all hear about some of the amazing things God is doing around these here parts. We love you guys. Thank you so much. It's all yours.